Accessing library computer data.
And to make sure history never forgets the name Enterprise.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Penske Podcast. If you haven't tuned in before, this is a podcast where we are running through all 178 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation, giving our thoughts and feelings about each and every one. Right now we're up to episode 13 of season 3. This one is called Deja Q. It was directed by Les Landau, written by Richard Danis, and it aired back on February 5th, 1990. In this one, the crew of the Starship Enterprise struggle to prevent a moon from falling out of orbit. Their situation is further complicated by a visit from a powerful nemesis named Q, who informs the crew that he's been stripped of all his powers and must live out a mortal life. We're going to be joined by Modi Operandis to talk about this one. And right after this audio clip, me and Modi are going to go deep on Deja Q.
Delta V is 92 meters per second. The mass is too great. We are having an effect, but it is negligible.
What is that?
Unable to identify source.
Impulse engines passing safety limits. We're seconds from automatic shutdown.
Reduce engine power. Track the beam off.
Lieutenant Warp, what the hell did the sensor say?
The sound is not registering, Commander.
Q. Red alert.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Penske Podcast. We're joined today by Modi Operandis. Modi, how are you?
I don't need your fantasy women.
We should have discussed it. That would have been a good introduction there. I always forget that this is that episode that he has that. I love that scene.
So good. So,
yeah. I don't need your... Just the way he
this
says
the delivery.
It.
Oh, my God.
I don't need your fantasy women. It's a man in total awareness of what he does and does not need.
It's a matter of fact.
It's a GIF or GIF or whatever you want to pronounce it that I always keep on hand to send to people in emails and stuff. Just him with him saying, I don't need those fantasy women. But yeah, if you haven't been able to tell, we are going to be talking about Deja Q, which is an episode in season 3. It's the first and I think it's the only appearance of Q in season 3. We did watch this one, Modi. Hopefully you watched Deja Q. Now I'm having a panic attack.
I did watch Deja Q. Yes, that's the one I watched. Yeah,
I sent a lot of emails recently. I don't know what I was telling people to do. So, have you done a Q episode with me yet?
I don't think I have.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember if I have. I don't really think so.
The only one I was thinking you might have done was the one in season 1 where he offers Riker the power, and I don't remember if you did. You probably didn't do that one with me.
I don't think so. Okay. That wasn't me.
So I guess let's start off with what's your overall thoughts on Q if we haven't got them already?
I don't know. I don't like Q as a character in general.
Mm-hmm.
But I do. This is probably my favorite Q episode that there is because he's not very much Q in that he can't do all of his ridiculous stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, I kind of like the more humanizing Q here. I kind of liked it.
Yeah, he's...
The more alien Q than the omnipotent Q, really.
Yeah, he's... I think the Q episodes get better as they go. I've said that before, but he... his early stuff is really not very good at all. Q Who is kind of a turning point. And then we have this. I don't think I've missed anything in the meantime. I don't think this is his... This one seems to be kind of popular. A lot of people seem to like this one for him and think it's one of his best episodes. I don't think it is. I think there's a couple others that I'd prefer over this one. I don't mind this one as much. I guess. What'd you like about this show? This particular Q?
I just don't like Q in general. Generally, actually, I kind of did like the trying to come to grips with humanity and mortality.
Yep.
And that kind of like. You know, kind of an infant in a man's body kind of thing of trying to understand how the world works. I kind of liked that. As I said, it's more of an alien take on him versus the omnipotent godlike take.
Yeah.
I could see this as if they wanted to make Q a regular part of the cast here, they could have just leave him without powers and just have him be a character who is human and trying to come to grips with that.
Yeah.
To play off of Data's trying to be an android, be trying to become a human kind of thing.
Yeah, that's kind of
interesting. The entire episode. And I mean, really, I was watching this the second time and it's like, they could actually just leave the powers out of it and just make the show, maybe get part of the show now, leave that as like a B plot for certain things.
Interesting. Yeah.
And yeah.
I think I could agree with that. He's, do you think you don't like the character or you don't like the performance?
I don't like the over-the-top performance.
Yeah.
Honestly, the mugging and the ridiculous costumes, and I don't know. It's just too much for me.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
It's always
been bothering me. The mariachi band bothers me every single time.
I guess that scene took a long time to film because he had a hard time syncing up the trumpet acting, like, you know, like faking to play the trumpet. I would have just...
Oh, yeah, we'd hate to have that.
I would have just...
Untimed trumpet acting.
I would have just given up if I was a director at that point. Been like, fuck it, like, do whatever.
Nobody cares anymore. Matter. People have turned it off by now.
Yeah, I think the reason... I generally like this episode. I think it's good. We'll get into why I like it in a little bit. But I think my general reason I don't like it is I think Delancey hams it up a little bit too much in this one. And I think that the writers ham it up a little bit too much for Q in this one.
Okay.
Because his lines are also larger than life. Like he says things
very
like...
Very theatrical.
Yeah. He says things like... To be a lumpen human being, you know, it's stuff that you wouldn't really say in real life.
Yeah, it's a little overly clever writing kind of things. Like, oh, we can make a super clever line and super clever twist on a pun and that kind of thing in this, and it's like it's a little too arch, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. That's what drives me a little bit nutty about him. And I like the episodes where Q's a little bit more toned down. He's still sort of himself. Like I think. Tapestry is probably the best Q episode, which is much, much later than this, but he's not totally over the top in that one.
There's a couple good scenes in here too, like when he's finally like doing his confession scene with Picard. Like he's very toned down.
Yep.
He's still got his same kind of attitude of the melancholy self-hating
right.
Q almost there. And I really like that scene actually here. It was very good. And it wasn't over the top at all. He played it very well.
Yeah.
It was probably the best scene in it, I think.
Yeah, I agree with you. I like that one. And I liked the one where the Clamalians, whatever that gas thing is, when they first attack him.
Clamatos.
I'm going to have to look up what their actual name is. But anyway.
I had the captions on for part of this, and it's like Calamarine.
Calamarine.
Calamarine. Calamarine. There it is.
They sound like a boat. Because I think they sound
like Kettle Marine. Yeah.
When they first attack him in 10 forward, he has a good thing of like when they release him and he starts screaming, like, help me, help me. I thought it was good. I think my other main problem with this episode is that the tone is a little bit too crazy because you have to put the crazy Q stuff in with like a sort of terrifying situation that he eventually finds himself in. And the show has a hard time balancing out those two extremes, I think, in one episode anyway.
Yeah, he's not like even from the beginning, Troy said he's, if I didn't know better, I'd say he's terrified at the very, very beginning. Where she has her very one of her clairvoyant moments where she actually tells him what he's actually feeling.
Right.
But he doesn't play it that way at all. Like,
no.
If he would have played it a little bit differently like that, where he is a little paranoid and a little bit more terrified than he actually is.
Yes.
But he plays it a little too cute, I think.
Yeah, I agree with that too. I think it's like the actor ignoring the lines that he's supposed to react off of. It's like you should be playing this a little bit more subdued, I think, than you actually are. Because even when he first appears, he's totally normal Q, you know, like sort of like a sarcastic, like, I'm going to do whatever I want. And as you say, Troy claims that he's terrified, but he seems to not be terrified of anything. Although this episode does have the most terrifying scene, I think, when Guinan stabs him with the fork, which is a weird ultra-violent scene for Star Trek, I think.
Yeah,
it's something you see in like a Tarantino
I really
movie.
Liked Guinan in this too for very I don't know. Just her matter-of-factness and her attitude here was kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's. I don't want to be too negative because I did sort of enjoy this episode. So I'm going to say that my favorite part about this is really the Data-Q interaction that sort of
for sure.
propels the story forward. You know, Data is... It's sort of an ironic... Data even mentions that it's ironic that Data has tried to become human... and despite his best efforts, he can't. And Q, through disgrace, has managed to become everything that Data wanted to be. And they both have different reactions to the outcome of that. Obviously, Q's not happy with the situation. Data's just himself. He can't be happy or anything about it, but he just thinks that it's peculiar that he hasn't gotten that far. And
I like that. I like that pairing, especially too. Yeah, that was a good idea.
Yeah, it's good to pair. Yeah, the Q's over the top with Spiner's restraint as Data is a good thing. And Data's also interesting because he's the only member of the Q who doesn't actively hate who doesn't actively hate Q.
True. He kind of gives him the benefit of the doubt. He's never on his side, but he's never against him. He's in the one scene where they're in the conference room or whatever. He's like, I'm not taking a side. I'm really stating facts. He helped us out.
Yep.
You know? It's like, he treats things at face value. He doesn't worry too much about motives, I guess.
Yeah.
He's kind of treats it as it is and as facts.
No, exactly. It's he doesn't go into it with any preconceptions or emotional preconceptions anyway, because honestly, I thought everyone else was kind of acting like a little bit of a dick at some points to Q. You know, like when he's clearly in danger of being killed and they're just like, and Geordi's even like, Commander, he's not worth it. You should just let him die. Like he needs to go. It was a little cold.
Cold, Geordi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Geordi.
Not worth it. Yeah.
Me and Clay have been laughing. The episodes haven't gone up yet, but we've had a couple episodes in a row where Geordi has either an odd line or an odd delivery because it's the only line that he's got in the show to Q.
He just works the hell out of it. Yeah.
He really works it. He worked this one. He's like, Commander, you got to let him go. You got to let him go. Just very, very excited. Yeah. It's, I was a little bit surprised that Q managed to hold on to the knowledge of an omnipotent being as a human. Do you find that?
Yeah.
That's a little bit strange.
I found it odd. I also found it odd that he's like displaying his IQ to Guinan. He's like, I have a Q of 2005.
Right.
And I'm like, okay. All right, buddy.
He took the time. That was the first thing he did. He was hungry. He ate some of Sundays. And then he took an IQ test to realize how smart he was.
Is this an IQ based on age, actually? So like, how do you, with an immortal being, how do you have an IQ, actually? You can't have an IQ.
No, it's a good point. It's, I don't know how you do it or how he wouldn't know the answers. Like, is there an upper limit to an IQ? Because you think he would know everything.
Right. At some point.
Although I guess we've had this conversation. He's not, I remember having this conversation with you. He's not omniscient, right? He doesn't know everything.
Yeah, that's true.
He's just omnipotent.
Yeah. That's true.
Because he didn't know Shakespeare in one of the episodes. I forget.
Yeah, right. He's trying to still understand humans, so he does like little experiments and that kind of stuff with them. So he doesn't understand them.
Yep.
He's more of a kid playing with toys kind of thing.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. The trickster god that Star Trek really enjoys. He's the other thing I really enjoyed about this one is that I thought it was a pretty tight little script in that everything that was happening had a reaction that made sense, like the ship needs to lower the shields to get the moon, to push the moon back into place. But if they lower the shields, the Calib Moraine are going to attack. So it's like a nice little trade-off of tension there, which I think is a good sort of writing aspect to this episode. Everything fit together, and there were certain ups and downs to everything that they would do.
For sure. I kind of liked that the crew, get the sense of that the crew would have resolved the issue with the moon colliding on their own. Mm-hmm. Without any intervention whatsoever.
Yep.
And the fact that Q was there actually just complicated things. They were about to solve it. And the Cal Moraine showed up and kind of ruined it for them. But
right. Yep.
I got the sense that, you know, they got another orbit out of it, and they might still figure it out. I mean, without any kind of Deus Q Machina.
Yeah, that's another thing. Why is this episode called Deja Q?
I don't understand it.
Besides the fact that they want to put Q into every title that he's in,
there's
nothing deja vu about this episode.
Exactly. This is the one that pissed me off, as far as they always try to work Q into the title, and it's just like, oh, let's just think of some cute Q titles and let's use the best ones. And it doesn't have to do anything with anything. So it's the season one naming structure for things, pretty much.
Yeah, so, they do get a little too cutesy with their naming sometimes. I have a question for you, though.
Sure.
Were the Q, either RQ or any of the Q, responsible for what was happening to the moon?
I watched it a second time, and I get the impression that Q was right, that it's, you know, whatever it was, black holes at a right angle to the orbit or whatever he said it was. Like, I guess that's reasonable. It could be that. They're like, we don't understand it. But, like, he's like, well, I think that's what it is. And he could be right about that.
There's another scene where they call it, I don't know if they do it once or twice, they call it inexplicable, which I didn't know if that was supposed to be the hint that this is like the Q continuum testing Q, although I don't know if that's the case. I'm inclined to think what you think, that it's just kind of a random act of nature that the ship has stumbled on, and Q manages to use it to fix himself, even though he never stated beforehand that he needed to do an act of supreme kindness or whatever the second Q
right.
says that he did.
Which I kind of, yeah, I don't like the, everything that happens. This is like 80% of a great episode to me.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
everything up until Corbin Burnson shows up is awesome. And then Corbin Burnson shows up and ruins the entire episode so that I can't even like stand it anymore. Kind of thing.
If you don't like hammy John Delancey Q, you'll probably hate Corbin. Is it Corbin Benson? Is that his name? It is, right?
Corbin Burnson, yeah.
Burnson, yeah. If you think that Delancey's a little bit hammy, wait until you see this guy.
Oh my god!
That's apparently
the unifying trait of the Q is that they're all hammy people.
I know,
that's
and
that, one thing that they're all the common.
I was really let down by that. I was hoping that some of the Q would be super serious, you know, and like this yeah. Q is kind of an outlier amongst them. But that does not seem to be the case. They seem to all be troublemakers, but for some reason they found John Delancey's Q's troublemaking to be too extreme for some reason.
Yeah.
Which I don't understand. Although I do like the idea of multiple Q's is kind of a like an interesting thing about like what do they do in their day to day? What's the point?
Yeah, I don't know what the continuum like what their schedule's actually like on a day to day basis. What are those meetings like? Do they have meetings? I don't understand.
Yeah, apparently they have no conception of time because things take centuries. Like he said, he's going to have to be doing paperwork for centuries to explain this.
Yeah, I don't think he says paperwork, but that's the impression I got too.
Yeah, yeah. I think he said meetings or something. Like there's going to be meetings.
And explanations for centuries, yeah, yeah.
Oh, lots of agendas. Yeah, that's, I kind of agree with you. I think this is a pretty strong episode that, I might more technically enjoy than I enjoy watching it, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
It has a few little goofy things, like, this isn't a huge deal for me, but all I can think of, you'll have to correct me if my trivia is wrong, but the woman on the planet who, like, the aliens that the moon is about to crash into, she reminds me of, I think, is it Newt Gunray from the Star Wars prequels? Like, how they were
yeah.
like, a terrible
accent.
Why is
she Asian?
Yeah.
I mean, okay, fine, you want to cast an Asian actress, but why is she doing an Asian accent? And
right.
I don't, maybe that's just her accent, but why do you cast it that way?
I know.
I don't understand.
Right, if she's, it's a weird decision to just cast somebody who can't sort of clearly speak English. Like every
yeah,
other
it's
alien,
it's very obviously Asian, and why it's not crucial that the race is kind of Asian like.
Well, the other guy is not Asian, right? He's just
doesn't seem to be. No,
he doesn't seem to be.
Doesn't
yeah.
seem to be.
Yeah.
No.
So that's all I could think about is how people were flipping out about Star Wars, being like, "This is the most racist thing I've ever seen in my life."
Oh, it happens a lot.
And this one, she's just like, "Oh, Captain the Moon is gonna." It's like, "Oh boy,
oh,
this is real." This is
oh
real something.
Boy,
there are creatures in the universe. Who would consider you the ultimate achievement, Android? No feelings, no emotions, no pain. And yet you covet those qualities of humanity. Believe me, you're missing nothing. But if it means anything to you, you're a better human than I.
But yeah, it's just little things like that. I think the tone doesn't really line up with what I'm expecting. Delancey's,
it has its moments, but yeah,
Delancey's hamminess kind of throws things off. I do love the sacrifice, the idea of the sacrifice, the idea of Data. The scene where Q talks to Data, where Data's like language processors are broken.
Oh yeah, I like that scene too.
Yep, that's good. I didn't understand. I guess they haven't really done this. They eventually, when they need to repair Data, they bring him to engineering, which makes a little bit more sense. This time they brought him to sickbay, and Dr. Crusher was working on him. I don't know.
It's
about
all
that.
The same.
What
brains and electronics? It's all the same.
It's all positronics. And I think this is the episode where we learn Data has to eat some kind of biofuel to lubricate his.
It doesn't have to, but he thinks it makes him run better or something like that.
Okay. So, yeah. Good for him. It's interesting. I mean, what do you? Yeah, so tell me again what your favorite scene was, the Picard Q scene?
I think the confessional scene with Picard, yeah, I think is my favorite one.
Yeah.
where he's just kind of melancholy about his situation, that he has to make the confession that he's, you know, wouldn't do the same for Data, and that he's ashamed of that, finally.
Yes, yep.
And he's becoming more human, kind of thing.
Right, yeah.
Have you... And that, this if they incorporate him into the cast, this season could be full of that kind of thing. And they could eventually give him his powers back, you know, at the end of the season or something like that. And
yeah.
And, like, not have grown or grown, it doesn't matter at that point, but they could have explored that further,
that would be fascinating, too. I hadn't even thought about it, of bringing Q back into the fold and, like, having him be a help. Because he is... The crew always seems to, not understand the intelligence that he can provide.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I... Like, they always discount his sort of... Because it must be Q-Hu, where he's like... Q-Hu is he wants to join the ship, and because he can show them things that they had never seen before, and they reject him, and that's why he sends them off to meet the Borg. But why, on a crew that its mission is to explore territory and learn all that they can learn, they're very dismissive of the one character they met who could pretty much show them anything.
Yeah, he's seen it all and been doing it for thousands of years, apparently, and can be like, he also has, he does provide a different perspective on things, because you know, with the whole thing with the, you know, trying to analyze what the problem is, and he says we have to look at the cause, not the symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes at things looking at them like an omnipotent being, even if he isn't anymore.
Right.
He still approaches it like, oh, just change the gravitational constant.
Yep.
And they're like, that doesn't work. But then they're like, oh, it does work, actually, if you look at it from that point of view. So he does provide something that they're lacking, actually.
Yeah, no, that's
true. He provides
a
perspective, actually.
He gives them the answer in a roundabout way, but yeah, they eventually figure it out. Yeah, I wish he could have stuck around a little bit. They'd have to tone him down. I would have given up on the show.
Oh yeah, more subdued for sure.
Have you seen any of the episodes around this one recently? I know you're not watching every single one.
I have not, actually. No.
Okay, because I was gonna. It's another episode where Picard is a little bit in the backseat. We've gone a long string of episodes with no real Picard as the center of the show, and it's just kind of something that's weird to notice at this point.
Huh. It seems to be at the season, beginnings and season finales and that kind of thing, he's always the bigger role, but in the middle, it's always the other character is taking the front seat generally.
Yeah, trying to fill in the space. Yeah, uh-huh. they're kind of in a little bit of a slump at this point. We've had a few episodes in a row that have not been particularly strong. This one is fine, I think. So I think we can wrap this up at this point. I don't have anything else to add, do you?
I think we pretty much covered everything I thought of. Yeah, it's just 80% of a good episode to me.
Yeah.
Everything after Corbin Burnson shows up, and it just takes a turn with weird faces and smoke and mariachi bands and,
and the
fantasy women.
Yep, fantasy women, which I do enjoy. I wish he had given different women to Worf. That would have been kind of a nice thing.
He didn't
thing.
Really tailor that to the audience there.
No, he
didn't. Got Worf some different women.
A lot. And was the cigar smoke CGI? Did you notice that?
I hated that so much. Yeah, it seemed like it was.
It was. I don't understand why that was, but it was. It was very strange. But anyway, we're going to... I'm going to take a break. I'm going to play an audio clip for you guys. We'll come back. Modi and I are going to give our thoughts and reviews about this episode.
Captain, Rail 4 is hailing us.
On screen, Lieutenant.
Captain Picard, you've done it.
I'm sorry?
The moon. It's back to its normal orbit. However you did it, thank you.
Let's see it, Worf.
Mr. Data, your analysis?
The moon's altitude is 55,000 kilometers. Projected orbit is circular. There is no further danger to the planet.
Ensign, set course for Station Nigala 4.
Aye, sir.
Perhaps there's a residue of humanity in Q after all. Ensign? And
don't bet on it, Picard.
Okay, Modi, we have just finished watching Deja Q. We talked about it for about a half an hour. What are you know, on our scale of 1 to 5 here, what are you going to give this episode?
I will give this one a 3.
Okay.
Because I did like most of it, and there are some good moments in it. But the when he gets his Q powers back, it totally ruins most of it for me.
Sure.
And so it's very close to being something very good, but it's not quite there yet.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I think with a couple changes, this would be a 4. I don't think it's anywhere approaching 5 territory, but it could certainly be like a weak 4, I think, if you fix things up a little bit. I'm also going to give it a 3. It's not my favorite Q episode. I'm now sort of thinking ahead about, like, when I finish the series, I'll be like, oh, when I because I've been keeping so many notes, I'll be able to go back and, like, actually rank the Q episodes because I'll have keeping track of what I've done. I don't think this would end up in the top half of Q episodes, although I don't think it's particularly bad. It's probably right in the middle, smack dab in the middle of all of them. Yeah, so I'm going to give it a 3. Modi gives it a 3. That's interesting. I'm glad we agreed.
Yeah.
It's something. It's something, isn't it?
It certainly is. It certainly is something.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think you could. It's just I don't particularly care. Unless you have a really great Q sort of like theme or a Q plot, I have a hard time enjoying his episodes as much as some other people seem to.
Yeah. This was close, though. I think this is close to something that could have been interesting. But I wish at the end they would have let him die. And just to see, because there was a part of me that thought at the end that that maybe he knew all along that he was getting watched, and he was just going with his selfless act so he could redeem himself.
That's interesting.
They didn't like let him go all the way with it, and if he would have gone all the way with it, I think that would have been a better ending, actually.
Well,
they could have still brought him back,
yeah,
the power Q, back after he died.
The Q can just resurrect him, like you would assume they can just bring him back to life. So that would have been actually touching, because that's true, because when he does it, they're like,
the crew would have felt bad for him for a minute. They're like, oh my god, he wasn't lying, and he sacrificed himself to save us. And then he comes back and he's a total dick again.
Right.
Like, oh, great. He did something right, but now he's a total dick again. Great.
Right, because the way it works is that the other Q sort of brings it up, and our Q sort of is like, yeah, I did do that.
Yeah, you're right. He's kind of like he was planning it all along kind of thing.
Right. You don't get the impression that he's actually making the sacrifice because he wants to, which his death would have actually fix that. That is a good idea.
They should have actually shown it on camera, yeah.
Yeah, that would have been, that definitely would, that alone would have knocked it up to a 4 for me, I think, if they had done that.
Mm-hmm.
Too bad. Yep. But good idea, yep. Modi. And so it's a 3 for me, 3 for Modi. Modi, they can all check you out on YouTube. I'll put a link to your stuff. And otherwise, thank you for coming on the show.
I'm going to go have 10 chocolate sundaes now.
This show gets 3 out of 10 chocolate sundaes for me, which is actually a lower thing. But that is a hell of a lot of sundaes, too.
That's a lot of sundaes.
Data should have warned him. Cool. Well, thanks, Modi. I will I'll
no
talk
problem.
To you soon. You'll be back for probably another episode before season 3 wraps up.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent.
Bet on it.
And guys, thank you for listening. You enjoyed the content, you're on YouTube, like, comments, appreciated, you're on iTunes, a rating, review, all that stuff helps the show out. And I'm going to be back next time with A Matter of Perspective. And then right after that, we're getting to the thing that everyone wants. It's Yesterday's Enterprise, so tune in for that. Thanks, guys.